The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. Some of you listening today have gone scuba diving. Before getting into the water, there is a particular type of dress or equipment you must be wearing before you dive into the water. You wouldn't go golfing in a business suit. And for those fortunate enough to be invited to a state dinner, whether it be with the president or even the Queen of England, you wouldn't be allowed in if you showed up in your clothes that you wear when cutting your lawn. Society and often protocol demands that you dress in a certain manner. Speaking of dress, many of you, I am sure, have been to musicals, plays that the characters sing many songs throughout. Let's say, for example, you went to see the musical The Lion King, and instead of the characters coming out on stage dressed like a lion, someone came out dressed from the musical Oklahoma, yet still saying and singing the parts that were expected in the musical The Lion King. Even though you would be hearing the right words and songs for the play you paid to see, you would be confused because the characters had not put on the proper clothing. Notice what Job says in Job 29, verse 14. He says, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Sure, the Bible is using symbolic language here, but if Job was putting on righteousness, then for him to do that, he had to be acting righteously. And here I don't mean acting as in a play, but living a righteous life, obeying God's laws. To use that analogy, let's look into the Bible and see what else it says we should be putting on. Notice Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3, where we read, Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who were before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. This was a play. Joshua would have been probably wearing very dirty clothes. But as you probably know by now, the Bible is saying that Joshua had committed many sins as he stood before the angel. As Joshua's sins were forgiven, by analogy, his dirty clothes were replaced by clean, probably very clean, white clothes. Understanding the analogy, do you understand God's word well enough to put your own name in Isaiah 61:10? Let's read and see if you could. Where we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. If God has really clothed you with the garments of salvation, you really will be doing what is necessary to enter God's kingdom. Can you really say to God in your prayers, Thank you, God, for clothing me with your garments of salvation? Continuing in verse 10, where we read, He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Can you honestly say to anyone, including God, that he has clothed you with his robe of righteousness? I hope you can. How often do you take off the robe of righteousness and put on Satan's straitjacket of iniquity? For those that know anything about a straitjacket, you cannot get out of it yourself. Someone else must take it off. Only Jesus Christ can take off your jacket, your straitjacket of iniquity, and put on his robe of righteousness back on you again. I am sure that some of you have heard interviews of some of the actors that play major roles in some of the bigger movies in our theaters. They must study for months and learn about the life and times of the individuals they are acting out. To the best of their ability, they must think and act the way the individual did in real life. Playing the part in a movie is much more than just wearing the type of clothing that the individual likely wore, but to literally act out the very character of that person. Acting out a character role in a movie or in a play is one thing, but living our lives here on this earth is no act. It is real life. The Greek word translated put on literally means to enter into or to get into, as in clothes. You are completely wrapped in your clothes. You may have heard the expression, clothes make the man. You would not show up for a job interview for a construction job wearing your best three-piece suit, no more than you would show up for a job interview for a management position of a large company dressed in ripped blue jeans and a grease-stained work shirt. How you dress not only displays a mental attitude, but it goes a long way to show the character of the person. Jesus Christ gave the parable of the wedding garment that makes this abundantly clear. Notice in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them by parable, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." And for the sake of time, I'm going to skip down to verse 9, where we read, "Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Christ was using the parable to tell us that to qualify to enter into his kingdom, you must put on. He used the same Greek word I described earlier. Or you must have the very spiritual characteristics required to enter God's kingdom in the same way you must be dressed appropriately for a wedding when invited. The Apostle Paul is very clear on the meaning of the word put on. Notice the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11. "And do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I want to interject for a moment and just point out that in John 3:19 it says, "Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now continuing in verse 13 of Romans 13, where it says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." But let's really notice verse 14, where it says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." The Apostle Paul tells us that we're to put on the clothes or the very character of Jesus Christ. A Bible commentary called Barnes Notes says the phrase "to put on a person" seems a harsh expression in our language, but one not infrequently used by the Greek writers, and means to imbibe his principles, to imitate his example, to copy his spirit, to become like him. The article goes on to say, "Thus to put on the Lord Jesus means to take him as a pattern and a guide, to imitate his example, to obey his precepts, to become like him." God, through his Holy Spirit, inspired the Apostle Paul to tell us to develop the character of Jesus Christ, and not to, as the saying goes, to have one foot in the water and the other one out. And while I'm on the subject of dress, when you buy a new pair of shoes, you must take off the old pair. You don't wear them both at the same time, and of course you wouldn't think of wearing a new shoe on the left foot and the old shoe on the right foot either, would you? Paul said to develop the very character of Jesus Christ, and not to make any plans or have any thought of doing anything in the future to fulfill any lusts of the flesh. Notice that Paul tells us in chapter 9 of Romans, verse 8, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. It's one way or the other. The same Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as of you who are baptized in Christ have put on Christ. The New Living Translation makes it even clearer when it says, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. When you have been baptized through immersion in water, symbolizing the burial of the old self and accepting Jesus Christ as the only one who can give you eternal life through forgiveness of your sins, you are to take on the very character of Jesus Christ himself when he gives you his Holy Spirit. Notice how the Apostle Paul continues to explain this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, when he tells us, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And verse 24, "And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Even more clearly, the same verse from the Living Bible reads, "Yes, you must be a new and a different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature." So, just what is this new nature? Is it the nature, the character of Jesus Christ? Well, Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." And dropping down to verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one with the other, and forgiving one another, if any has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." When you, as God tells us, have put on the very character of Jesus Christ, you have, as we read in verse 12, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. He says, put on all these things. When you, as God tells us, have put on the very character of Jesus Christ, you have, as we just read in verse 12, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And again, verse 14, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." So I don't have time to go into these characteristics of Christ listed by Paul, but what about mercy? Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So, okay, Christ tells us the merciful will obtain mercy. From who? Well, David in Psalms 116, verse 5, tells us that, "And thankfully, our God and our Creator is the merciful one, the one who gives us mercy." So in Psalm 116, verse 5, we read, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful." When we read that God is merciful, or that he has mercy, we may be assured that he is feeling our misery just as intensely as we are. As Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write in for two booklets, The Christian and the Spirit, and Coming to Baptism. All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us at the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675 and request those free booklets, The Christian and the Spirit and Coming to Baptism. If you cannot remember the names of the booklets offered, just ask for broadcast number 22. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.